Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate, a podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome, everybody, to the KP Podcast. I'm Pete, sitting here with Keith, and we're coming to you again from the Forum here in Chandler. And Keith and I, we just got back, Keith, from Jacksonville, the little mastermind down there, which was pretty cool. Got to meet some interesting folks from different parts of the country and some pretty big players down there. But definitely a topic that kept coming up was what's going on in the market and, of course, inflation.
Yeah, I mean, it stands to reason that this would be probably a topic of discussion for months and weeks to come as we are at tipping points of a lot of different things. We're seeing the market swing like we haven't seen it in a while. And then on top of it, we have this troublesome big brother type issue behind us that we're just like chasing down as best we can and trying to keep up with or figure it out. And it's not just here in Arizona. It's happening obviously nationally in all these other markets, and it's affecting them. And so while learning Jacksonville's market and what it holds for investors there, which awesome growth there in Jacksonville, and we're seeing a lot of Florida
clicking along
crazy, right? And so it's been cool to see that. But then on top of it, this discussion of does it really matter where you're at sometimes when inflation is this big issue happening? Yeah. And there's multiple strategies being laid out to try and stop it. And we're trying to figure out which one is best.
Yeah. Or what's going to happen, which is the million-dollar question that everybody's wondering, you know? So as we're recording this, inflation is still up officially around 8.5%. You know, remember, they have changed how they, measure that and view it for many, many times over the last 20 and 30 years to kind of try to keep that number down. So as most of us know who, you know, go shopping at the grocery store and buy gas and look at house prices and lumber
buy
prices.
Buy a gallon of milk.
Buy whatever it is.
Bread.
Cars. A little higher than 8.5, if we're being honest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, what were they saying? The original way that they did it, you know, years ago. If you track it the same way they used to track it, it's closer to like 15%.
Yeah, Shadow Stats, the guy that does that one, he still measures it. So he doesn't come up with his own way. He just says, if we just measured it the way the government used to measure it in 1980 and we just didn't do all these weird changes that they've made, then if we just measured it how they did back then, we'd be up around 15% or so, which is probably more realistic.
So again, let's chat about inflation just briefly. What is inflation? And it's the diminishing value of a currency, right? It is the, like you like to call it, the hidden tax that destroys your purchase power.
Yeah, it destroys your purchasing power. So, you know, or the melting ice cream, like I say, you know, it's just if a dollar's sitting in your bank account, it's like you're holding that ice cream cone that's just melting away. You know, every day that ticks by, that ice cream cone keeps melting a little more and a little more till you're left with barely anything. And dollars the same way. You know, every day that it just sits in your bank account, it's worth a little less and a little less and a little less. And, you know, the example we use is if a candy bar costs a dollar today and you can go take that dollar and buy yourself your Snickers and then you got 8.5% inflation, well, a year from now, that Snickers bar is going to cost you $1.08 or $1.09, whatever you want to round it to, and you've only got a dollar. So now you can no longer buy that Snickers bar.
Which brings us up to talk about some other things, right? So we'll talk about inflation, and it's strictly money. It's strictly dollar amounts in a vacuum, right? If nothing changed whatsoever, it would be like having it in a vacuum. But we know that systems, processes, companies, technology, things change. Mm-hmm. Marketing changes. Things change along all sides of a factor. So there are different kinds of inflation that isn't associated to the actual dollar amount something costs, right? So you might say, hey, Keith, I'm confused because, yes, I see inflation's up 8% or so-called ghost maybe 15% or more, and it's been inflating for years. Well, Keith, how can they still give you that 99-cent burger at McDonald's? Or how can candy bars still be a dollar for the regular size candy bar, regular size in quotation marks? Mm-hmm. How can that still be if we're inflating, right?
Yep.
And that brings us up to another really key thing is that not all inflation is around a certain dollar amount. Sometimes other things are affected in order to make up the difference of inflation and maintain marketing strategies. A big one is called shrinkflation. So Pete, tell me a little bit about this weird term, shrinkflation. It's not inflation, shrinkflation.
Shrinkflation. So everybody out there will be, you know, we'll be able to relate to it once we kind of give some examples, right? So if you've noticed, like a big one that I noticed, especially with my kids, is cereal boxes. Mm,
yeah.
Okay. So
love cereal.
So you've got the choice, right? Like we said, that box of Captain Crunch could go up next year, you know, 10 cents or 25 cents or 50 cents or whatever it is. But like you said, on the marketing side, the companies who want to make sure they keep selling and somebody's going to go, well, I don't want to buy that cereal now that it costs $6 instead of $5, they go, you know what? What if we leave the price at $5? But the way we're going to get around it is we're going to make the box smaller.
Not a lot. Just a little bit.
Instead of, I don't know what's in there, instead of 32 ounces or 16 ounces of cereal, let's go with 16 ounces. We're going to go 15 ounces of cereal.
Or a 15 and a half. You see those halves all of a sudden jump up there.
No one will notice. You know, we'll just pull an ounce of cereal out or 2 ounces of cereal. Before you know it, you're looking a couple years later and you're like, this box used to be a lot bigger, didn't it? And it's the same thing with the candy bars, you know? It's a candy bar. What do you mean? The Snickers still cost $1, Pete, so I don't know what you're talking about. I can still go buy it. Yeah, but last year, Snickers bar was a little bit bigger than it is this year.
A little bit longer.
Longer than it is this year. So, you know, it's shrinkflation. And really, when you think about it, and we've talked about this before, you see it in everything. So it's not just goods, but you see it in services.
Yeah.
Here's one everyone will recognize from movies. Think about these movies back in the 1940s and 50s. When somebody would pull into a gas station and a guy would come out, they're cleaning your windows, they're putting air in your tires, they're checking your oil, they're doing all this stuff, they're pumping your gas. You go to a gas station today, not only is no one coming out to do anything, but if you need air for your tires, you've got to pay for that.
Yeah.
And you're pumping your own gas.
And your own air.
And your own air. And no one's coming out to do anything. And gas is, you know, 10 times the price it used to be. So that is another example in the services of shrinkflation on the service side. You used to get more stuff. How much stuff now is automated? You know, we've got self-checkout lines. You go to a hotel. They've maybe got one person up front or nobody and you're checking in at a kiosk.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
And the crazy part about it is they paint this picture that it's like, oh, we're progressing. It's getting better. It's getting easier. But in reality, somehow you're doing their job for yourself, you know, where you never used to have to do that. You used to have service. Another one that we see all the time is we can use other excuses in our world to help with shrinkflation, make it a little bit more common and easier. So for instance, like we just went through this COVID crisis and all the stuff associated with it. Hotels offering less service. We were talking about this quite a bit. You can use the means of things around you to also speed up that shrinkflation type service. How many of you guys have been to a hotel where you actually have to call in and ask for cleaning and service in your hotel room?
Or we'll be by every 3 days unless you ask for it.
Yeah. And so now instead of normal maintenance and housekeeping, you have to actually ask for it, which is a weird term. So they would actually go the whole week without it because that's the shrinkflation, the aspect of what's happening is you can use some of the things around you to help move that process along. Yep. Before we know it, we're going to be all with one bite-sized candy bars. Those little fun size are going to be the full size.
No kidding.
The normal group size chip bags are going to be like the little ones you get for
the hotels are going to be like Airbnbs where I gotta wash my own sheets and I gotta vacuum my own floors and stuff. Yeah,
you'll go to the hotel. It'll still be $300+ a night, except laundry's on floor 5. You got to take all your stuff and all your bedding there. Swap it out for us.
Make your own sandwich.
You got to buy towels. You know, you got to like put in the vending machine if you want to dry yourself after a shower, or air dry is going to be required.
There you go.
So it's wild.
So you got that. So we talked about inflation. We talked about shrinkflation. And then the third one in the trifecta here, stagflation.
Don't talk about the stag, Pete. It's not good. The term doesn't even sound like it's good for our economy.
It sounds
stag. Stagflation.
Stag. That sounds
deadly. Like stagnant. It sounds, you know.
You kind of hit the nail
stagnant?
On the head.
Is that?
That's kind of what we're talking about.
You know, when you
here.
Leave something sitting for a long time and it's getting a little stagnant in your room,
it's
you know?
It's probably the worst one of all. It's the worst one of all. So let's talk about stagflation. This is when you have inflation that's continuing to rise with an economy that is slowing down. So you get the worst of both worlds, because think about what's supposed to happen is, you know, oh, well, things are clicking along and there's more money out there, more activity. So we've got this inflation. But if we slow things down, you know, AKA the Fed right now raising rates to fight inflation, right? Yeah. That's what they say. We're going to fight this inflation. We're going to raise rates to slow things down and bring the inflation down. Except they're raising rates and inflation doesn't seem to be slowing down right now. So you end up with stagflation.
So inflation continues and the economy slows.
Yeah.
Shrinkflation still happens and and it's still more expensive.
Yep.
It's like a double hit. You're getting hit from both sides. Hit.
Yeah.
So Pete.
And this is... And we're seeing some of this right now, where the perfect example is we saw Target, you know, release earnings a week or two ago, and they talked about, hey, our revenue's up, our sales were up, but our profits are down. And that's what you see in this stagflation, because what's happening is inflation's continuing to raise those prices, but they're not making more money. It's just costing more to buy that food and everything like that. So people are actually buying less. They're just paying more. So actually, Target's actually selling less stuff. But when you look at it on paper, you go, what do you mean? You know, last quarter, you sold $1 billion worth of stuff. And this quarter, you sold $1.1 billion worth of stuff. But in reality, when you look at it, you go, well, last quarter, you sold 1 million widgets. And this quarter, you only sold 900,000 widgets. So technically, we sold less. But the dollar amount's higher.
Yep.
And so.
And you got to pay your staff more and your service and more and your labor more.
Yep.
So not only did your normal costs go, but your actual acquisition costs and everything that you're paying for, your goods costs went up. So it's like you can't scale your price high enough to make up the difference for the profit in a market like this. Yeah. So it's tough. It's going to be tough on these companies. And so hence why Powell's coming out saying, hey, we're going to raise rates. We're going to fight this thing.
Yep. Right?
So that's the big picture is.
They're trying to talk that inflation down.
We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to get to a point to get it stopped. First off, it's let's get it to stop increasing, right? Then once we get it to stop increasing, can we diminish it a little bit, bring it down to a more manageable natural rate? What's, you know, 1% to 3%, something.
2% is their target.
So let's get it down to a point where this is normal. This is gradual. I don't think we'll ever see a point. I mean, we might, but I don't think we'll ever see a point where it's going the other direction. Our dollar's getting stronger. And if it did, that would be a miracle in itself. So, Pete, if we're in stagnation or stagflation right now, then what are we going to be doing here? What's got to change? Because right now, if this isn't working, do you stop? Do you speed this thing up? What are we going to see?
That's the million-dollar question, right? What does the Fed do? If you see that the economy is slowing down, growth is slowing, and you possibly might be in a recession, which in my opinion, we're already in that recession. It's just not official yet. But inflation's still going. What do you do? And that's the million-dollar question that people are trying to figure out with the Fed and Jerome Powell and where he comes in here, right? So if we think through that for a second, in order to fight inflation, the Federal Reserve raises rates, okay? But remember, the Fed has no control over supply, okay? They can't produce more cars. They can't pump more oil. They can't make more houses.
Yep.
So they have no control over supply, because an increase in supply would help bring the prices down, bring inflation down, level things out. But they can't control that. So what they can control is the demand side. You go, okay, well, if we can't increase supply, we can diminish demand. So when we raise rates, we're going to slow things down. We're going to deliberately slow the economy down, slow things down. And what they try to do when you hear about, he says, we're going to try to do a soft landing, which means we're going to try to slow things down enough where we don't send us into a recession, but we slow it down enough to get that inflation down. That they're kind of trying to thread the needle. Well,
too late.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to be working so well right now. And so the question is, okay, congratulations, Fed. You are succeeding in slowing things down. However, inflation's still running. So what do you do now?
Because obviously the demand slowing is not stopping this dollar from changing. And so I like to look at it like a big old pot of soup on a you know, on a stove. Let me paint this picture. You got a big old pot of soup. Now, it's not salty enough. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to add a little salt. And so our goal is if we add a little salt here and there, we'll get to a point where it's salty enough and it tastes good. But for whatever reason, every time I add a little bit of salt, it doesn't really change the fact that it's not very salty. So you're saying just let it be and you know, let it have really unsalt and maybe stop. stop adding salt because it's not changing much, right? It's not, it's actually making it worse because it's taking longer to cook, it's overcooking, things are just not doing well. Or do I just take off the top of the salt and just throw the whole dang thing in there and just roll with the punches and let it, this thing blow up in our face? Because in all reality, he can increase these rates dramatically, quickly for us.
Good.
We could get up 100 basis points, 200 basis points at each move. And we move that needle very aggressively, but that will destroy demand. It will be gone. Like, companies are going to start laying off everyone. No one's going to be able to afford it. And things are going to happen really bad.
Yeah. And so remember, though, that's kind of the dilemma. Is one way or the other, some of that stuff's going to happen. So either the Fed is raising rates, in which case borrowing costs are higher and economic slowdowns lead to the layoffs. Or if inflation keeps going, a similar thing happens. You know, they have to pass along costs. People don't have the money to buy as much stuff. So businesses slow down. So they lay people off. So one way or the other, that stuff happens. Yep. So, you know, it's which one is more dangerous? Can he get that inflation under control, you know, quickly enough? And which one will he do? And that's what people are trying to figure out. And look, to the point, I thought they would have been done after two, but man, there's no let up in that inflation at this point. It looks like he's definitely probably going to go at least three, if not four, and see where they are at that point. Yeah.
But I mean, if we're sitting in that same spot after four,
that's
like,
quite,
seriously,
that's quite the dilemma.
If we're seeing that. So the only other thought is that if inflation increases and supply catches up and prices increase so dramatically that people literally can't afford it with the increased interest rates, maybe it wouldn't be a slow stop. But my thought is like, okay, if here in the Phoenix metro area, we start to see house prices get to $800,000-$900,000 for an average home price. Let's be realistic. We're heading there.
Yep.
Then maybe no one can afford and demand gets stopped because of inflation instead of, you know, interest rates and recession. It might just be from prices.
Then you're talking about a depression at that point because you're talking about a quick move. So the thing is, you know, the average house price in the Phoenix area will probably eventually at some point reach that $800,000-$900,000. The difference is, can that happen over a decade or 20 years, in which case people's incomes can attempt to keep up or slowly gradually go? Whether, or I should say the opposite is, if that happens in 2 years, there's no way anyone can keep up. So it's on the flip side, I would say this is why, you know, in these terms, like we've talked about so many podcasts, with inflation running high, with all of these things happening, this is when you want to be thinking like an investor and not a saver. Because that inflation, you know, as sad as it is to say when you see all these things happening, but it is helping people that own property. It is driving up those values because, you know what, the house prices react to inflation as well. If their dollars are worth less, well, those house prices are going up because just like everything else, they cost more. And same thing with the debt. If you've got that fixed rate debt locked in, well, that dollar is, you're destroying that debt because you're paying it back with cheaper and cheaper dollars. And so, you know, you hate to see some of this happen because it's not good for our economy, society, people in general, but there's nothing that we at an individual level can do about that. What we can do is prepare ourselves and look at that positive side as investors, as property owners, and try to take advantage of what's there.
So Pete, let me paint a picture then, because if inflation's happening, stagflation's happening either way, right? Whether rates are climbing or not, where am I putting my money as an investor? I mean, I'm looking at this thing as like, if we're heading down this rabbit hole of either we have a massive recession or we have massive inflation and still might have a recession, either way, or we're in a recession now, but we're talking depression type stuff, like massive economy changing movements. Then hard assets are the only thing I'd even want to consider right now. Like
hard
assets,
yeah. And, you know, so all we've talked about many times, all the hard assets that you've got before, you know, physical assets, precious metals, real estate, you know, other commodities,
other forms of currency might be another option as well.
Well, I wouldn't buy currency. That's not a hard asset. So I certainly would probably steer clear of those. But, you know, like we said, other precious metals and commodities and such. But, yeah, and surprisingly, you know, what might eventually happen is if you see this thing could possibly be topping out and we've got rates super high. Remember, if rates go, let's say they raise rates super high, well, they're not going to stay up there forever. You know, they do that like Volcker did to get it under control. You might see people rush into bonds, you know, which we saw back in the 80s when you had bonds paying double digits, basically risk-free. Yeah, people at that point go, you know what, that's not such a bad idea because they're not going to stay up here forever. So, you know, that's something I never thought I'd hear myself say is, hey, maybe at some point you got to look at bonds. But wow, if it got to that, and we're nowhere near that, but if it got to the point where interest rates were double digits or above, yeah, I bet you would see people looking at those. Absolutely.
Well, then I guess being liquid would be key, but to be able to invest in that stuff. But the problem is, again, if you've inflated out, like it's tough. So I guess that would be a place where you can transition out of your hard assets into something like that, as long as you ride that wave.
And if you're looking to stay liquid, part of what we do in our plan, you could go back to season one, I think, guys. You can also find stuff on our website where we talk about infinite banking and the IBC policies, which also help fight inflation. Those will adjust their rates of return there, will adjust for inflation. The dividends paid there will adjust for inflation, and it's a safe place, guaranteed place to keep your money and stay liquid.
You can grow liquid the correct way, like without letting it sit in a bank account. If you have your money in a savings account giving you 0.0001% interest, you are crushing yourself.
Well, what you're doing is you're guaranteeing a loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I guess here, before we go, that is one thing too. Okay. So let's talk about this, because let's think about this for a second. So you've got folks, we've talked about whether the market here in Phoenix is going to crash or anything like that. And we still see no signs of a crash. Yes. Big slowdown. Yep. Like we're saying, let's get back down. Yeah. Get away from this 30% increases. But let's say we even flatten out and next year is zero. Or let's say next year the prices go down 5%, Keith. Well, I'm looking at this number that officially says 8.5% inflation. So if I put my money in a savings account, I am locking in an 8.5% loss, guaranteed.
Yeah.
They're telling me already, you're going to lose 8.5%.
So are you saying that if I invest in a house and the housing market goes down 5%,
you're better off than keeping it in the bank?
Then I'd still make 3% against inflation versus theoretically in a vacuum than leaving my money in a bank account.
If you're comparing them, you actually did 3% better. With the
your
house,
asset
even in a down market, if the inflation is still, you know, running 8-9%.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So that's why we say hard assets.
You are being paid to borrow money right now if you're borrowing it less than 8%. Officially. Mm-hmm. Officially.
Yep.
Like, we're not even taking into account that you could probably borrow it up to 10-12% and still be unofficially increasing in value.
This is a few times this has happened in history. Like we said, it's happened a couple of times. Last time was in the 1970s, early 1980s, maybe late 70s, early 80s was the last time you could officially borrow money for less than the official government inflation rate.
So guys, we wanted to talk today about just the different types of inflation, things that you can see so you can understand this item so much better. And
it's just such a big topic. Like we talked about, this has never been so mainstream before. You see everybody talk.
It's been a while, three, five
years ago. Did you hear everybody on the street and anybody you talk about inflation or even care about what it was?
I don't even think most people knew what it
was. Exactly. But today it is a topic across the board with everyone.
Yeah. So keep this in mind, guys. As we're looking at this, we're monitoring the Fed. We're monitoring what is happening and what is changing. Now, obviously, we saw a little ease up on the 10-year and expectations because we still don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We're waiting to see what happens. Are more rate hikes going to be seen? Are they going to stop? I mean, it's still projected to do the 10 or 8 more, I guess, if you will. But the market's kind of assuming that they're going to pause, that they're going to stop, and they're not going to do all 10 is what they're assuming.
Expectations coming down, I think, to a total of, we're probably sitting around 7 or so at this point as we're recording this.
So it'll be interesting to see if all of a sudden they say, no, we're going full force or increase force. So be wary of that. Or are they going to pull back and say, no, you know what? We did something bad. We got a recession. We're going to stop.
They're going to say what they usually did. Whoops, my bad.
We poked the bear. We shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, bear. Go back in your cave. Like, that's literally where we're at, guys. So, guys, be monitoring this over the next few months to come. Like, before the end of this year, we come third quarter, fourth quarter, we're going to have drastically different news for you guys. It's not going to be sitting in the exact same spot now as it is 3 months from now.
Yep.
So be ready for that. Keep an eye on it. We're keeping an eye on it. Like always, guys, send us your questions. Questions at kpeliteaz.com. We're here to answer a lot of this stuff, go through it with you, and continue to bring you guys relevant information in today's economy, as well as what's happening and affecting our real estate market and the business of real estate.
Yep. All right, guys, we appreciate you. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you guys next time.